This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Good morning to you. We're here solving major problems. Age. Do people look older or younger today? We pretty well agreed they all look younger. I won't even talk anymore about that. Any direction we go on that, that's going to get us in trouble. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're talking law and order this morning. We have guests from the Murfreesboro Police Department. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen is with us. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
And a lot of things happening at Murfreesboro Police Department.
Yes, sir.
Maybe it's just, I've noticed we seem to be having more pedestrians being hit. There was one Friday over on South Church Street. There was one yesterday, not in the city limits, but here in the county out on the John Bragg Highway. And we've had quite a few. What is the reason? Is there a reason? I mean,
I can't speak to those two particular that you're referring to, but I know that over the years that when we've investigated those, the large majority of them are folks not using crosswalks or intersections to cross the road and trying to cross Church Street, which is at certain spaces is six lanes, and same way on Broad, and trying to navigate traffic. And sometimes it has to do with low light conditions if it's dark and people are just hard to see. And so it's, you know, I know we've done over the years with our traffic unit and also the Traffic Safety Task Force, they've done an emphasis on pedestrian safety. We've participated in some grant programs through the Tennessee Highway Safety Office for pedestrian safety to actually go out and educate. That grant was more of an education grant where officers would actually be sent out at these, you know, very frequented intersections like Broad and Church and other places, Broad and Memorial, and they would actually see people walking and actually talk to them. We had some handouts for some reflective gear. I think you have a lot more population that is walking in these areas, and it's unfortunate that a lot of them just kind of get just like drivers impatient and want to cross the road where they want to cross. And it's just a dangerous situation because either way, whether you're in the right or the wrong, it always comes out poorly for the pedestrian. And, you know, we hate to see that happen.
Oh, absolutely. That was, by the way, Captain Clayton Williams speaking there, and Larry Flowers, the public information officer with the Murfreesboro Police Department's also with us. Larry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you?
Doing great. You're busy over there on your laptop.
As always.
Are you finding anything new that you want to share this morning?
Oh, no, nothing new. Okay. Just checking email.
Okay. I thought we were getting ready to have all sorts of late stories or anything new on the condition of that guy who was hit on South Church, because I know that it's the first time I've seen something like this described as extremely critical condition.
We don't have an update. I had spoken with supervisors on the scene that night, and that's the condition they told me, that he was in very critical condition. And so I haven't gotten an update on that yet.
So, and he was taken to Vanderbilt, the trauma center at Vanderbilt?
Yes, he was taken to Vanderbilt. You know, this particular crash happened there at I-24 and South Church Street, basically just there at the red light where the pedestrian was attempting to cross. And
he's trying to cross South Church?
Trying to cross South Church is from what I understand, and a car coming on the off-ramp ended up colliding with him. So, again, don't have an update on that particular crash, but I'll be sure to check with our traffic supervisor to see if there's any additional information that we can release.
And we can pass that on to everybody, because I know people are concerned about that, especially if you saw all of the activity going on there. You get concerned and you get involved emotionally with that too. Speaking of things that are happening here in the community, there was an armed robbery last night over at the Dollar General store near MTSU, and I was sort of breathing a sigh of relief thinking that we had seen a reduction in crime in that area. Then this pops up. That's a pretty serious situation. Did they apprehend the person?
As of now, they're still searching for that particular male. It's around 3:30 or so yesterday afternoon that MPD officers were called to that Dollar General on Halls Hill Pike. Apparently, a lone gunman had walked in and robbed the place at gunpoint. And he left out heading toward the Groves apartments. They were able to get K-9 to begin tracking, MTSU K-9 assisted as well. And as of now, they're still looking for that particular individual. He was described as a person wearing all black. He had on a hoodie, sunglasses, and gloves, and apparently had reddish hair and a beard. And of course, if anyone, you know, sees him, just feel free to call Murfreesboro Police.
3-something yesterday.
Yeah, just past 3:30 yesterday.
Nobody was hurt, I don't guess.
No reported injuries or anything of that nature.
Clayton, anytime there's an accident or a robbery of that sort involving the person armed with a weapon, that's a dangerous situation, I would imagine.
Yeah, anytime someone committing some type of crime with a weapon, there's always that potential for injury or, you know, loss of life. And, you know, we take those crimes very seriously. And this is something that our investigators, luckily the store there has some video footage and we got a decent description. So hopefully with the help of our team, and if anybody has any tips in the public, that we'll be able to identify this person and we'll do everything we can. But yeah, it's always a dangerous situation and we take those very seriously.
Larry had sent us copies of the picture, the surveillance picture of the suspect. We put that on our website. That red hair was red. I mean, it was almost orange.
Yeah, I saw the photo, and it could be something that was meant to use as a disguise. Maybe it's something that, you know, is easily changeable. But yeah, if it's still that way, it's pretty noticeable. It's very, very bright orange.
While we're talking about this, and this person fled toward apartments in the area, student housing, basically, is the issue between community and student housing getting any better? I know you had tried to reestablish some way to work with them to get them to put certain things into place to reduce problems with their tenants doing things like this.
Yeah, I don't know if I directly attribute this to student housing in that capacity. I think that what we see is what we've seen in the past was some of the surrounding areas having apartment complexes that were designed specifically for like students, individuals. It wasn't really like a family housing setup. You'll see that in a lot of areas, like you got 96, you'll see that some of the housing setups that are geared towards the quads or geared towards the single student housings have more incidents occurring at those particular properties, whereas across the street you could have a complex that's geared, you know, multi-bedroom set up for families that has less. So I wouldn't directly attribute it to housing on campus or anything like that. Like I said, it's just, I think, just the nature of the design of the complexes that surround the campus that are the issue.
Okay, so if anybody has any, if they've seen this person or someone who looks like that person from a distance, just what number should they call?
So you can call the Crime Stoppers line. That's always a good line to do. Or you can directly call 615-893-1311, and we can put you in contact with someone. Those will probably get you the two quickest responses. And definitely just know that we have that Crime Stoppers line out there, and it's still up and running and something that you can utilize at any time, 24 hours a day.
Okay. Don't forget, Crime Stoppers offers a cash reward of up to $1,000 if your tip leads to an arrest and conviction in the case, and that's determined by the Crime Stoppers board as to how much it is. It's based on, I guess, the danger of the person who phoned the tip in to a degree that they have to put a value on it. So it's up to $1,000 cash, and nobody, not even the police, know who you are. All the Crime Stoppers members know of is you have a number, and when you get a check, it's not made out to you. It's a cash check. It's a good program.
It is. I tell you, you know, you're talking about that particular incident involving firearms and individuals carrying weapons when they're committing these crimes. I got a text this morning about a car break-in. Didn't happen in Murfreesboro, but just be cautious. These individuals come around late at night, shaking doors, things like that. A lot of these individuals are armed. Some are carrying pistols in their hand. The best approach to any of those situations is if you see it happening, call us. If you have any type of video, make sure that if your neighbor gets their vehicle's broken into, anything like that, and you have some things that may be of value, definitely call in and share those, whether it be with us, the Sheriff's Department, Smyrna, wherever you may live. The big thing is just be cautious about confronting these people at 2, 3 in the morning, because a lot of them are carrying, and some of them are carrying, have the guns in their hand ready to use. So just be cautious on that.
Wow, I had not thought about that. So people are actually seeing them in their doorbell cameras and things of that sort.
Well, you're picking them up on your Ring cameras, things like that. So, I mean, I know some people get notifications. I think people have them set up different ways. And you got to remember, too, if you live up the road, say you live in a one-way street that leads into a dead end, it may have been your neighbor at the far end of the dead end that got broken into. But, you know, you may have captured a vehicle coming into the neighborhood, coming into the roadway.
So. Very good. That's the thing about technology. Murfreesboro Police Department has a tremendous amount of technology. Before the show's over, we can do an update also on the real-time crime center, because that is making news everywhere here in the city of Murfreesboro, doing a phenomenal job. We're going to pause for just a moment. We will continue the conversation, and we're going to open up the phone lines. If you have a question, you can text it to us or you can call us. Texting is really the best way if you would. 615-893-1450. Same number for either option, texting or talking. 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
When you have fire, water, or storm damage, Fair Construction can help. Fair Construction is also there to help when a car slams through the wall. Call Fair Construction and we'll board up, put down tarps, secure your home or business until the insurance coverage is approved. Call Fair Construction at 615-893-6120. I'm Ron Hall. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Fair Construction Company.
Looking for great deals on name brand clothing, furniture, and more? Visit the Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street across from the tall downtown NHC building in Murfreesboro. Our competitive prices and quality selection make it easy to find exactly what you need. And here's the best part, 100% of your purchase supports Greenhouse Ministries, helping over 70 families a day. When you shop at the Garden Patch, you're not just getting a deal, you're making a difference. The Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street in Murfreesboro.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. The salmon is my favorite, and then we have a variation that's on a regular menu for the salmon imperial that has some Alfredo, some crab, some shrimp on it. But the salmon is fresh, and we cut it fresh. But all of our fish, you can either get blackened, or you can get it with our regular seasoned salt. And either way you do it, it's just out of this world. I'm not a fish person, but I will eat it at Demas's all the time. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, Murfreesboro. Do you need something for your pet? If so, swing by Animal City on Broad Street. We have it all. From premium pet food, fun toys, grooming supplies, and more. You name it, we probably have it. Whether you've got a playful pup, a curious cat, or even a fish that needs a little TLC, we're here to help. Our friendly team can answer your questions and point you in the right direction. Stop by Animal City at 919 Northwest Broad Street today, because happy pets make happy homes.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. That's it, 615-893-1450. That's the number to call if you have a question dealing with law and order. And that's what we're focusing on this morning. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen's with us, along with Captain Clayton Williams and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. So between the three of them, we got a lot of information to share with you this morning. We had news that I guess actually broke a couple of weeks ago, but it's been trickled out a little at a time, and that is the Forensic Center here in Rutherford County has been approved. This will be the sixth regional Forensic Center in Tennessee. We're the only county our size that does not have one. And it's going to cost about $15 million. It's going to be built on a 10-acre site in Smyrna where the old Seward Air Force Base used to be, and should be operational by the first quarter of 2027. That's 2 years away. It's going to take a while. Will that make a big difference in what you do at Murfreesboro Police with your cases? I mean, when we think of Forensic Center, we think of NCIS and FBI, all those TV shows. Is it going to be that much of a difference?
You'll find that the burden for most of that falls on the county, so they operationally control the greatest portion of that. Basically, we just get our exams scheduled. So for the county, I know it'll be a huge difference maker for them in the way they operate. For us, not so much as far as us specifically scheduling the forensic exams, things like that.
So with the forensic exam, that's anyone basically who dies unattended, or how does that work?
Just depends on the circumstances. They have certain criteria, and then just depends on the case. But yeah, it could be unattended. It could be a result of criminal activity, accidents, things like that. So it can be a wide variety.
That's going to be a plus to have one, because I understand that the others are reaching capacity as far as being used.
Yeah, yeah.
And anytime if you have one, say, in Davidson County, and they have all the business they can handle, they cut it off, we're up the creek.
Yeah, and the big thing to remember is we've always got to look at things not from where we are now, but where we'll be 10, 15, 20 years down the road when we look at planning services, because overnight we grew into this large community, and I mean, I don't see, or data shows that none of that's going to slow down anytime soon. So I think that just long term, yeah, if it turns out to be just a cost effective way of doing business, I think long term it'll pay off for the county. So but like I said, some of the results may be further down the road. But I think you have to plan, and you have to look at these things and be proactive in those approaches.
We're continuing to hear phenomenal reports about the real-time crime center. I've been sort of surprised. The biggest comments seem to be the license plate readers. They seem to be finding more people who are breaking the laws. What do you say? You mentioned just a moment ago the importance of looking ahead at the future. What do you see as the real-time crime center being able to do in the future? I know you probably, like any other business, you probably have trade publications that talk about things that are being developed right now. What's on the horizon?
There's a lot of communities that don't have the technology that we have right now. So a lot of the emphasis is on the current technology that we're using right now. And a lot of the discussions are about getting things that we're putting in place right now. You look back just 10 years ago, and if people told you some of this stuff would be possible in the way that we're using it now, I don't know that I would have believed you a whole lot. So what the future brings, I don't know. I know there's a drone technology that can be synced up with a gunshot detection technology, to where if shots are fired in a particular area, that drone will get activated and it'll fly immediately to the area. So there's all kinds of different things on the horizon. Now, we don't have that type of capabilities, nor are we currently pursuing it, but it's just, I think, it's limitless. I know that there's some of the technology as far as gunshot detection. I know that some of the development is looking towards, you know, what other types of things can be detected by that, specifically not people's conversations. I'm not talking about anything like that. Specifically in areas where you have a high incidence of like street takeovers, things like that. Some of that technology they're trying to develop to be able to alert police when things like that are happening, if nobody's calling in those events, things like that. So there's things like that are on the horizon. Now, whether or not we adopt any of that or look at any of that technology, that remains to be seen. But there are things out there that are being developed and looked at. So I'd say the possibilities are limitless.
It's interesting you mentioned about drone technology and being able to fly directly to where these shots were fired. But then you start thinking about some of the things you've said in recent broadcast about when it determines that it's actually a weapon that has been fired, you can get how close to, by coordinating the sound, you can get how close to where that shot was fired?
90 to 120 feet is just a rule of thumb.
That's the size of a nice-sized house.
Yeah, and I talked to Captain Keaton the other day, who manages the real-time crime center. He manages the Criminal Investigations Division. And he's had a couple of really good cases that have come up here recently, and I've asked him to reach out to Larry, so we haven't put out anything on it yet, but I think that we're going to do a couple summaries and just kind of illustrate how those pieces of technology are being used. I know one of them that happened several weeks ago, there was a gunshot, at least one gunshot. I think nobody called it in, and we were able to track it down, and through investigation found out that a robbery had occurred. We were able to make an arrest on that, and like I said, that call, never received a call on it. Interesting stuff.
Outstanding. And you can, I guess, you take those and you put them into coordinates, is that right? Just like you would to map it on to find it on a map. And you could put those same coordinates in your drone and get over there more quickly than a police car.
So I don't know how that technology works. Like I said, we're not using the whole drone and gunshot detection technology. I know that it's something that's out there. We're not using it, so I don't know particularly how that's set up. But you probably described it fairly accurately. You know, you have to have triangulation on these shots incidents, and then it puts you in the area where you need to be. So I guess that information would be relayed to a drone, something of that nature, to help you find out where that incident occurred. It's pretty good technology, and I always have to go back and say that those things are not constantly recording. They are set to detect gunshot technology. You can filter out fireworks, things like that. So the gunshot technologies or the gunshot detection is what they pick up on, and that's what they alert to. So they're not in a constant state of recording.
That's exciting to hear that you were able to go to a robbery and it was never called in. Why would people not call something like that in? Were they be afraid? Or
it can be a lot of things. It can be fear. Some people are like, man, I guess if you're sitting on your couch and you hear gunshots, you assume your neighbor's going to call in because it's so obvious. I mean, there's probably a lot of different reasons, or just outright indifference. You're just like, oh, well, just don't care to call it in. So there's a lot of reasons people don't. And unfortunately, I think there's a time where in some areas where it was just part of the day, you'd hear stuff like that, and people probably became immune to it over time. But
and I remember a lot of time we were talking about senior citizens earlier in the broadcast. We have heard from senior citizens who are living in areas, and they are concerned about their safety, about their grandchildren's safety when they come and visit them and things of that sort, because there's this going on by the criminal element all around them.
Yeah, and it can happen anywhere at any time. So there's none. I don't think there's a place that's anywhere that's immune from this type of activity. So yeah, just always be aware of your surroundings. See anything suspicious, you hear anything like that, like I said, unless provide good witness statements, any information you may have if you see any type of crime. I always go back to, you know, just be careful about confronting some of these individuals. I know that a lot of people are like, hey, I'll go out there and get them to stop. And sometimes it's best just to be a good witness.
Right. And it just seems like the way media used to be involved in years gone by, once you get a few stories out, like this one that you just described, that say, hey, we have arrested a person, we came onto the case and all of this, and there were no phone calls. We were not requested by anybody. Came in, made arrests, heard the shots fired and everything. You get a few of those out, and people might start thinking, maybe I ought to think twice about committing a crime here in Murfreesboro. Maybe I ought to go back to Nashville.
Right. You know, and out of all the three pieces of technology you kind of touched on earlier, the LPR technology is huge. It's definitely a game changer. The gunshot detection type technology was probably the one we were least familiar with, and it hasn't been up and running. It hasn't even been a year yet. Now that everything's in place, we're kind of seeing all three of those technologies running full speed, and it's interesting the things we're picking up on here lately. The gunshot detection has really been interesting. A couple of cases we developed over the past couple of weeks, and Larry, like I said, our goal is to get a story put out on those, just to let everybody know, hey, this is how it's being used, and here's the results of that use.
You had indicated at the beginning of this, because I think we had had some people being shot and crawling to the behind buildings and what have you, and unfortunately they would be dead before people ran across them. And you were saying that this might enable you to get to that person, knowing approximately where they are, so that a paramedic can help them.
I don't know, recall a specific example based on that comment, but I think
it was one dealing with shooting over near the Kroger store, behind the Kroger store, off of Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
Yeah, that one doesn't come to mind. But in going in line with what you're saying, I think that the head start that the officers get by coming through the detection devices versus people calling it in definitely gives you a head start. And I forget how many seconds. It's pretty good, significant number of seconds that were there quicker. It might have been as high as 45 in some instances, which is huge, especially if you do have somebody there that's injured, somebody there that's bleeding, things like that. It lets you get there and get in that area quick enough to render aid if that's necessary. So absolutely.
It makes a big difference.
So, yeah, because sometimes, I know it sounds cliche sometimes, but literally sometimes seconds do count in some of these instances.
Here's a question. This person says, I have a Ring doorbell camera. I don't see too much on it, but I hear so much about how you've found things from different doorbell cameras, and how clear are those pictures, and shouldn't we try to get the clearest ones that are possible for regular home use? How do I determine which ones are the best?
Research, that's the biggest thing you can research, and there's probably a top company out there that does a lot of it, and it's amazing, the technology, the quality, man, just this little stuff that you're sticking in your house now far surpasses what was seen in a lot of businesses, you know, 20 years ago. It's amazing, the quality, the ability to notify you if you're not at home and let you know that, hey, somebody's at your front door. Yeah,
it is.
I just go back to the show where the guy introduced this topic and they turned him down, and I'm not going to mention it. And now you look at how effective it's become. And I know affordable is a relative term based on your circumstances, but for most individuals, this has really become affordable technology and something that's, it's not money wasted, in my opinion.
Depending on your comfort level with that, a lot of those brands have a community app where basically it allows you to join the network in your neighborhood. You can also, I think there's a partnership, didn't we start that, where with that one particular company where they can share or get notifications as well through the Ring.
Yeah, it's the Ring Neighbors app.
Yeah, the Neighbors app there. So that's where a lot of that comes from, you know, is because, like Chief was mentioning earlier, something you might not have been alerted to something that happened that night, but a couple doors down, maybe your neighbor's truck got broke into. And our investigators, we're aware of that now, so whenever we go on a scene to go, and officers too, to follow, that's one of the first things we've always done, what they call an area canvas, but now that's included, now that they're technical, I don't want to use words, but these cameras are out there in this footage, that's one of the first things they go to check around the surrounding areas, like, hey, is it possible this incident was captured on camera and we have a suspect? So, you know, we appreciate that, and everybody's been real cooperative about it, and anything that helps take care of those problems faster, people are willing to help us with.
This is something somebody asked, and we can just sort of get your feelings on this, where people are seen walking through the backyards, just meandering through the backyard, 3 o'clock in the morning, say, or 2 o'clock, or sometime they shouldn't be out there walking through the yards. When you hear things like that, does that concern officers also? I mean, it would be frightening for an officer to come across one of those people while they were out there answering a call.
Yeah, so absolutely. So as described by you just now, that's definitely instances. If you're picking up that kind of activity, call in and we can send a patrol car by to check on that, because that's not what I'd consider typical behavior for people to be wandering through yards. Definitely warrant at least us to come out and check things out.
Now, can you set these cameras where they alert you that somebody has triggered your camera?
Yeah. I know an individual who has a neighbor who has theirs turned on to where every time he goes out in his backyard, it comes on and tells him that he's being watched. And it's like, yeah.
Interesting. I'm watching you, big brother.
Yeah. Clayton knows where
I'm. Yeah, I know where you're going. Yeah. Some people do kind of obsess about it. They're really customizable. You know, you can set up what they call a geofence on a lot of them to where you actually box the area on the screen of your phone that you want to get notifications about. So you don't, because that's, we get that question a lot about other people, like, well, I think they've got it pointed at my house. You know, there's ways, even though
yes,
it's there, they can limit that to certain
yeah
areas. It may be pointed in that direction, but it's not looking, because most folks, unlike the one, that particular example, you'd be getting alerts all day long. I mean, if a bird, a squirrel, I mean, things like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just detects movement. So, so yeah.
Now, we got a question here about robberies in cars, people leaving the cars unlocked. Has that increased?
So when we looked at all of our numbers last year for crime, and I always have to be careful about how I say this, crime numbers are down across the board for comparing 23 to 24. Of course, we have to look for the long-term trends. Is this a one-year anomaly? You know, you just really have to look at those numbers and just look for trends. I know our calls for service were also down last year, so those were good indicators. But man, as soon as they go down, they can turn around and go the other way and go back up on you. So everything we're seeing right now from 23 to 24 showed a downward trend. Now, will that continue to 25? Don't know. We don't know. But it's just something that we constantly look for the long-term picture and look for those long-term trends. So I guess the answer to that question would be they're down. But I'm also always careful to say, you know, we may have had 10 types of this crime. Well, that was 10 people that were affected by that crime. So I never want to diminish and say, hey, we only had such and such incidents, because, you know, those people that were affected or were victims of a particular type of crime, never want to diminish that or minimize, you know, what they went through.
Great thing is the population is increasing. And so if the population's increasing and the crime is going down, that shows that you guys are doing something right. I mean, it really does.
Great community.
It is a great community. We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the traffic and weather. We will return the final segment of our program dealing with law and order here in the heart of Tennessee. So if you have a question, don't wait, because we're about to enter the final segment. And if you wait too long, the show will be over.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Market declines, unemployment, oil prices. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a disciplined approach to investing. Call 615-907-7056 for an opportunity to discuss your situation. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Get old. Old National Bank, that is. Old National Bank has the experience and service you need to buy a home, make investments, even online and mobile banking. Old National Bank is in the borough on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard, which used to be Mercury Boulevard.
Visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
From lift kits to tires, Tire World has the experts and the knowledge to get it done.
This is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We are your local rough country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
It's the boys of summer. You're listening to Rutherford County's home of the Atlanta Braves. I'm Ben Ingram, and this is News Radio WGNS Murfreesboro Smyrna.
Welcome back. Well, I was out in the car the other day and heard the Braves baseball and thought, man, spring is here. I could almost smell the cut grass. Our phone number, 615-893-1450, the final segment. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen with us this morning. Captain Clayton Williams, Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. Chief, we need to go back and sort of tie up a loose end. we were talking about apartments in the area of MTSU, and you had something you wanted to share.
Just I kind of left that topic open when it was brought up earlier. So basically, back in 2016, 2017, when we started seeing the incidents occurring in some of the housing around the campus area, we wanted to develop a multi-housing partnership program. And we were able to find a model that's nationally recognized, so we tried to get that up and running. The big issue with that one, it was a great program. The big problem was is that for some complexes that it required a huge capital expense, and for our purposes is we were just needing partnerships and information sharing and things like that versus the huge capital expense. In most apartment managers, especially these properties are owned by out-of-town people, out-of-state individuals, it was just hard for them to come up with all this money for home for improvements. So what we've done is we've kind of revamped the program and tried to make it to where more people could participate and more people could be certified under the program. So Sergeant Mike Turner is starting that, or has started that program. And we basically, it was around January 1st of the part of this year where we tried to get the program up and running again. So we haven't given up on it. We have had to revamp it, had to relook at it and make it more practical to where we could have a larger participation. So that concept hasn't gone away, and it's something that we're going to work towards and something that hopefully will get up and running here soon. The best way to compare it is just a neighborhood watch type program for multi-housing complexes. And as we've seen technology, things like that come online, that those properties that do have that type of technology, we're willing to partner with them. And if they want to share their data information, that's something that can be a product of this cooperation. So a lot of work to be done. I was kind of discouraged when it didn't take off the way I wanted it to back around 2016, 2017. But like I said, we haven't given up on the concept, and it's something we'll continue to pursue.
Like you said earlier, we live in a great community, and that's just a part of the community working together.
Exactly.
And so it's making it a safer community for all of us.
Exactly. So those, especially if I have those that are owning or managing these type of properties, if you're interested, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach out to Sergeant Mike Turner, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have. There's more to come on this particular project.
We have a question here dealing with people who are having mental issues and doing criminal things tied with those mental issues. And I know Murfreesboro Police has put some people to ride with the officers, trained people, things of that sort. Share with us what you're doing to make that area.
Yeah. So, we have been pretty heavily invested in mental health awareness training for some time now. I know that a couple years ago we joined the IACP, what they call the One Mind campaign. So basically, our staff has to reach certain levels of training. A certain number of our staff need to be CIT trained. And then even more recently, we've had the partnership with Volunteer Behavioral Health, where we have the co-responders that ride along with officers and work as part of our homeless outreach services team. So they go out and they go into the areas where we have a high concentration of individuals who tend to suffer from mental health type crisis events, things like that, maybe even substance abuse, things like that. And they try to go out and work with those individuals and try and find long-term solutions for them, which is challenging in and of itself. But they've been a great partner. They've got the facility in town now to where they can take a volunteer, people that want to volunteer for treatment, things like that. Kind of touching back on, trying not to read into the caller's question, but we do at times have individuals who meet the criteria for having a mental health crisis event who are also committing criminal acts, and it's during those times where the officer just has to assess which what's going on and determine, hey, is immediate mental health evaluation the priority, or is it the criminal charges and the services coming at a later time? So it's, you kind of have to just evaluate each situation and kind of see what route you need to take in a particular
A focus instance. On law and order here in the heart of Tennessee. Our guest this morning, Chief Michael Bowen, along with Captain Clayton Williams and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers, all from the Murfreesboro Police Department. Thank you for joining us.